Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We love your word. And as we open it tonight, Lord God, we pray that you will speak to our hearts. Give us truth tonight that we can get a hold of to change us and others in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wholehearted. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31 is our key scripture for the year. And that's where Jesus said these words, the most important commandment. And I've underlined those words, most important. It was the title of our message last week and tonight. The most important commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, says Jesus, the second most important commandment: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. If you missed the message last week, can I encourage you to get a hold of it? We're going to leave it on the website over the weekend. We'll be putting this message tonight on the website on Monday. And so you've still got time either to download it for free or to watch it online. You can pick up a CD on your way out tonight. So important that you hear that message, because really that message is the springboard for the entire year as a church. Jesus here is teaching that the most important thing in this life is connecting. It's connecting with God vertically, and it's connecting with others horizontally. Those things, or that thing, connecting, is the single most important thing in life. God connects, and we are in the image of God. The very fact, and we looked at this a little bit last week, when it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, the word Lord is in the singular, but the word God is plural. And so what we have in that statement, and I went into a whole lot more detail on that last week, what we have in that statement is the unity and trinity of God. God is one, but he's made up of three distinct personalities: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. I cannot explain to you why, and I'm glad that I can't, because he is God and I am not. And everybody said, phew. But God is a trinity. God is a community. He has to be. Otherwise, in eternity past, before he made the human race, he would have been lonely, because he would have been the solitary God. No wonder, you know, religions with a solitary God actually see that God as angry. Because if you'd been on your own for all eternity, you'd be pretty ticked as well. And so you make people and then take out your tickedness on them. No, God is a community. The Bible says God is love. That statement can only be true if God is more than one personality. Because you can't have love where there's no object for that love. Someone that's on their own might love themselves, and that's important. But love, to be real love, has to be shared with other people around you. Love can only really be demonstrated in community. And so God is community. Father loves the Son and the Spirit. Son loves the Father and the Spirit. Spirit loves the Father and the Son. They've got perfect love between all three personalities, and then they created all that we know in the universe, the solar system, Earth, all of the creation, and of course the pinnacle of creation being the human race, just to demonstrate their love. It's wonderful. I've heard it preached that God created people because he felt lonely and he was in need. Thank you. If he was lonely and if he was in need, he was not God. He was imperfect. But that is not the case. He created just simply for his pleasure and for the ability to be able to pour out his love upon people, including you and me. Isn't that great? And we're made in the image of God. And so we are made for community. It's like the poet John Donne said a number of centuries ago, no man is an island entire of itself. You cannot be or arrive at your full potential on your own in solitary confinement. You just simply can't do that. And why is it that that is probably one of the worst punishments that anyone can have inflicted on them, to be put in solitary confinement? They're already shut off from society by being in jail, but then even worse than that is to be taken out of the community in the jail and placed in a cell on your own for X number of days or weeks. That's got to be the worst of the worst. Why is that? Because we are made as people in the image of a community God who's interconnection. And he's made us to be interconnection as well. In fact, that's one of our core values as a church: connection, the vibe of the tribe. Connection has been God's plan from the very start. Let's all go together to Genesis chapter 2. That was good. Genesis chapter 2. God's plan from the start has been connection. Going to pick it up from verse 15, and I'll make a couple of comments along the way. In verse 15 of Genesis 2, he says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden." So he didn't make him in the Garden of Eden. He made the garden, he made the man, and then introduced the two together. It's nice. Put him in the Garden of Eden to do two things. Number one, to work it. Number two, to take care of it. So we see work and environmental concern are two of the first things that God introduced to the human race. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free." I love those words. They're the first three words God ever spoke to a human being. What wonderful words they are. "You are free." They're some of the first words that are spoken by Jesus to the human race as well. Isn't that great? That's the purpose and plan of God right from the very start. Freedom for people. "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper for him." Interesting statement there. It is not good for the man to be alone. It is still not good for people to be alone, except if you want to be from time to time, because that's not loneliness, is it? That's nice. I mean, I love people, you know. I mean, I've met some pastors that don't like people, and that's always bizarre to me, but I happen to be one of those pastors that do like people. My whole life is surrounded by people. When I go home, I'm surrounded by people, you know, a wife and three little people. Did you hear Trinity calling out tonight? I got up on the stage at the end of worship, and all I could hear at the back was, "Daddy! Daddy!" You know, and then when I was praying for Ab and Claire, she's running up the aisle here and hugs my leg right in the middle of the prayer. "Daddy!" That's wonderful. I love that. So good. But there are times when you just want some peace and quiet, and that's great. I resource as a person on my own. Some of you could be able to relate to that. And so you go and hide yourself down at the beach and go for a walk, or you just get yourself into a place where you can be alone to be able to resource yourself, but then you want to come back into community again. God's not talking about that kind of aloneness. He's talking about solitary confinement, where Adam actually had the potential to live his entire life without anyone else in contact with him other than himself and God, which is interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes we think that, you know, and even some worship songs are like that, "You're all I need, you're all I need, Lord." No, that's theologically incorrect. God is not all we need God and each other. That's what we need. We need connection with God and we need connection with people. That's all we need. The other is only half the story. And so he says here, it's not good for the man to be alone. "I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all of the beasts of the field, the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. What an incredible brain this guy had. Imagine if you didn't know the names of all of the animals on this planet and you saw them one at a time, how would you make up names for them? I mean, would you look at the big, you know, fat grey thing with a long nose and go, elephant. No, you know, or the long neck, you know, giraffe. How would you come up with all those names? And, you know, I think I mentioned a comment about this last week. We only use about 10% of our brain. Adam would have used 100% of his pre-fall. And so this man, highly intelligent with incredible insight, and he named all of the animals. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So all the animal kingdom and no suitable helper found for Adam. Now, I love animals. I'm an absolute animal lover. When it comes to domestic animals, I've always had a dog ever since I moved out of my parents' house, because my dad doesn't like animals particularly. As soon as I moved out, I got a dog. And I love dogs. And over the years, you know, I've had a dog, had a cat, had two cats, prefer dogs, personally. Sorry for all the cat lovers, but dogs have owners, cats have staff. You know what I'm saying? That's true. An animal's wonderful company, and some of you, especially, you know, maybe single people or older people, you have a pet and they are wonderful company for you. But what we got to understand is that ultimately an animal is not all we need in company. Praise God for pets. Praise God for what they're able to do in bringing joy and comfort to people. But we need each other as well. We need human contact. You know, I love, when I had a dog, I loved hugging my dog, but I prefer hugging people. And people don't molt all over you either. And normally don't smell and don't have wet noses. They're just three advantages of people. And so there was no suitable helper found for Adam. And so God does something by way of another miracle. And it says, look back in your Bible there, for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, first general anesthetic. While he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs. Now, that's not really a very good translation. This is talking about the side of a person, okay? It's not just a rib, but the side of a person. And that's very important, okay? Because right from the start, this is speaking about male-female equality. Not wasn't taken out of Adam's head or out of his feet that she would dominate or be subservient. It was taken out of Adam's side so men and women would be able to walk together side by side and serve God side by side. That was God's plan and intention right from the very start, okay? So took part of the man's side, closed up the place with flesh, and then the Lord God made a woman from the part, literally, that he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, whoa, man. For she was taken out of man. And for this reason, and this is fascinating too, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. What is God talking about here? He's saying at the point of marriage, the man leaves one community or one connection point and makes a brand new one. Because that's God's plan right from the start. Connection, connection, connection. This is the most important thing according to Jesus. Now the devil has a plan, and we find the devil's plan in the next chapter of Genesis where he comes and questions the word of God. I want you to notice as well that he did it to Eve and he isolated her first. He got her when she was alone, when she was not connected. He has a plan, this devil. Real, personal, evil being. Disconnection. Alienation. Isolation. In the Bible, it talks about the devil being like a roaring lion. And those of us who have been to Africa and been on safari and seen lions in action, you may have seen this firsthand, where what a lion will do is isolate its prey. They kind of lurk in the bushes and they look at the herd of whatever they want to attack, and they single out the weakest and the one that tends not to connect with the rest of the herd, the one that will stay on the outside. And when it's completely disconnected and when it's safe, then the lion pounces and death results. And the Bible tells us that the devil is like a roaring lion prowling around, checking out who it's going to devour next. That's a fairly graphic illustration. And that right there should scream at each and every person in this house and anyone watching on the internet or TV that if you are disconnected as a Christian from other Christians, then the devil will count you as easy prey. And so get into the safety of the herd, amen? Amen? Called the church. Because he's a roaring lion and he's checking people out. And people that are vulnerable, the disconnected, the disgruntled, the offended, easy targets. That's the devil's plan. God has a plan as well. God's plan is all about connection. As we've seen, this has always been God's plan right from the start. And I've got to say, the church has been God's plan right from the start as well. this of what we're involved in right here is not plan B. You know, when God made the first humans and he put them in a garden and then he said, you're free to eat all of the trees except that one, he knew that they would eat from that one. It was no surprise to God. You know, when the devil came and tempted them and they gave in and they failed the test, and God comes along to Adam and Eve and asks them what happened. He didn't ask them what happened because he didn't know. He was giving them opportunity to repent, to ask his forgiveness. Now, he knew. When he found out that they'd eaten from the tree, whatever that tree is, not an apple tree, couldn't tempt me with an apple. It's a mango tree, probably. Whatever the fruit was, he tempted them. God was not surprised. He didn't. When he found out from Adam and Eve, oh, we ate of the tree, he wasn't like, oh, no, what am I going to do now? God didn't go into some sort of panic. He knew exactly what was going to take place. See, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8 that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, in the mind of God, as the foundations of this earth were being laid, as God was creating, Jesus was already the Lamb of God and already as good as slain to shed his blood to cleanse each and every person from sin. Isn't that wonderful? So the church is not plan B. The church is not God going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? Oh, I know, Jesus. And in a few thousand years' time, you go be born and die, and then maybe some people will believe in him, in you, and then out of those people, we'll put a church together. That sounds like kind of a Band-Aid thing. No, that's not what God is had in mind at all. The church was plan A right from the beginning. The church was God's plan and purpose. The church is God's connection point, and it's so important that we understand that. It's God's ongoing plan as well, connecting with others. God's ongoing plan for his people. Jesus said the most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I don't think it's an accident that we find that statement, love your neighbor as yourself, over and over again in Scripture. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. In Matthew 19:19 and Matthew 22:39, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. In Mark 12, 31 and 33, twice, love your neighbor as yourself. In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, love your neighbor as yourself. Romans chapter 13, verse 9, come on, say it with me, love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, love your neighbor as yourself. In James chapter 2, verse 8, Revelation 16, 2, no, it doesn't. But all the others did. Revelation 16:2 says, ugly and painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast. Romans chapter 13, verses 9 and 10, the commandments are summed up in this one rule, says Paul. Rule, says Paul, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Isn't that phenomenal? Right there, Paul summarizes the entire Bible in one statement, really in one word. He says love. Because if you love someone, then you're not going to harm them. So when you love your neighbor as yourself, you actually fulfill the entire word of God. He repeats it in Galatians 5:14. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. In James chapter 2 and verse 8, love your neighbor as yourself is called the royal law. I love that. In other words, this is the preeminent or the most important thing and something that is befitting someone of royal birth. See, the Bible says that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a king and a priest. You are a king's kid. You are of royal birth through the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And the royal law is love your neighbor as yourself. That is befitting royalty. It's bizarre to me that so much of the church over the centuries has not loved its neighbor as itself. If you've ever read church history, and I find it absolutely fascinating, the church has done some amazing things and the church has done some despicable things. Absolutely horrible. and shown discrimination on the basis of race or gender or economic background and done some horrible things. Whereas this is the royal law. This is what should typify Christians and the church all around the world, a company of people who love their neighbor just the way they love themselves. Who is my neighbor? Well, a neighbor is someone who is near. That's what the Greek word means, someone who's near. So the most important thing is that we love those who are near us like we love ourselves. And it's so important, church, that we get a hold of this. Is the Bible anti-self? No, it's not. It's anti-selfishness. But the Bible is nowhere ever asking you to be selfless. Because you've got to love yourself. And if you don't, then start, okay? Look in a mirror and start talking to yourself. Say, well, you're not bad, really, are you? I mean, there's stuff about all of us that we'd like to change, and some of the things you can change and some of the things you can't change. Learn to love yourself. God loves you. Other people love you. So you love you. Because if you don't love you, it's going to restrict you from loving others. Because that's the starting point right there. Love yourself. And then love the people that are near you like that. So important. You've got to get it right for yourself first. Just like on the aircraft, you know, when they're taxiing for a takeoff and they're doing the safety thing. And they get to the point of the oxygen mask dropping down. And they always say, and this is such an important thing, if the oxygen masks drop down, place it on yourself first, and then help infants and others around you. There's a very good reason for that. Because you could be helping somebody else and then you die. Because you, no oxygen. No, you put the mask on first. Look after yourself, okay? In life, look after yourself. Make sure that you're okay. Feed yourself well. Do exercise. Make sure you get sufficient rest, okay? Care for yourself because God cares for you. And it's only when you do that, then you'll be effective at reaching out to other people and caring for them, okay? We've got to get that right because I've seen a lot of people over the years and they're always caring for others, always looking out for other people, but never looking after themselves, and they get to the point where they fall in a heap and the other people got to gather around them and lift them up then. So care for yourself. Apply your oxygen mask. Breathe deeply and then assist other people around you. Loving our neighbor presumes that we know our neighbor, that we are close to people and in relationship with them. That is what belonging to a church community is all about. Jesus didn't die so that you could have something to do on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night. Church is not just something we attend or go to, it's something we're a part of. So important. Can we just, if you forget everything else I say tonight, let this truth grip you and change you forever, because we've got this Western mentality of church. Oh, I've got to go to church. I've got to attend church. And that's good, and I'm glad you do. You know what I'm saying? But when you're here, you're part of a body, and when you leave, you're still part of the body. Don't go walkabout on us. Imagine if you woke up tomorrow morning and your leg had decided to join someone else's body. And Tara's just going walkabout, this leg. You know, and you turn up at church, and there's someone with three legs. Called Jake. I know, only the older people in the congregation just laughed at that right there. I was talking to someone during the week, a younger person, and I said, called Jake, and he looked at me like, what? I said, Jake the Peg, you know, what's that? I said, Rolf Harris, 60s. Oh, Pastor Rob. I wasn't even born. Thank you so much. Who remembers Jake the Peg? Oh, look at that. I'm Jake the Peg, diddle 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 lump, with the extra leg, diddle 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 lump. Good. There was an anointing on that then. But see, that's how some Christians view the body of Christ. They go walkabout on you. Suddenly your leg's missing, and then the other leg's missing, and then you don't have a leg to stand on, literally. Plug into the body. Don't just attend church. Just don't go-to church, be part of church. This is the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27, it says, you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. Underline it, highlight it, start to use it in your conversation and your prayer life. Thank you, Lord. I am part of the body of Christ. It's wonderful. Sometimes parts of people's bodies are passive because they have a disability. Some of you have been to see Avatar. Who's seen Avatar? Okay. I haven't seen it yet. It's 3 hours of blue people flying. Does not appeal to me. But I've heard it actually is a very good movie, okay? And Sam Worthington plays a guy called Jake. No relation. And he's disabled. He's not able to walk. And unless he's in his avatar, right? And then he can walk and fly and all of that kind of thing. We got to make sure that we're not a passive part of the body of Christ, because the problem is when people go passive as members of the body fails to reach the potential that God has called it to. And that's what this month is all about. Next week is our contribute weekend. And we're going to give you opportunity to get involved in something at Bayside or in the broader community. You got a booklet in your pack last week or tonight if you just got it. And it's got for all the different things that you can get involved in at Bayside Church. And so next week, if you haven't got some area that you're involved in, I encourage you, sign up for something. Get active in the body. Amen? Become a contributor. The other way that you can contribute next weekend is in our home and away pledges. Home and Away is our fund, and all gifts are tax deductible. And there's a whole stack of us. Every month we give a pledge, a gift, for a 12-month period. And 50% of that is used in our projects around the Bayside area of Melbourne. And the other 50% is used to support our Bayside Church Forever Home in Johannesburg in South Africa. I encourage you, each and every one of you, prayerfully consider what you can do. It could be a lot or a little or somewhere in between. But if everyone does something, it makes a massive difference to what Bayside Church is doing in being an active body of Christ in our community and beyond. So that's next weekend. Tonight, we're looking at connect groups. The devil's plan for you is loneliness, isolation, alienation, depression, solitude, danger, disconnection, stagnation, and ineffectiveness. Not a great list. God's plan for you is this: care, concern, involvement, growth, belonging, effectiveness, serving, closeness, friendship, accountability, safety, acceptance, comfort, fun, laughter, support, and most importantly, the opportunity to be connected to something that is bigger than yourself, something that will last forever. That is what the church is all about. Amen? Amen? Wonderful. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight for calling us to be part of a body, calling us to be part of something that's bigger than us, calling us to be part of something that's going to last forever. I can't think really of anything else on this planet except maybe parenting kids, where you sow yourself into something that's going to last for all of eternity. Lord God, forgive us for the times that we've devalued church, that we've reduced it to an institution, where we've reduced it to a 90-minute service, Lord God, in our thinking. I pray tonight through this word that we will just blow that thinking right out of the water. And from this time on, that we will see ourselves as part of your master plan, part of your plan A for the human race, that people would come to Jesus Christ, receive forgiveness for everything they've ever done wrong, and come into relationship with a God who loves them and cares for them deeply. And through that relationship, Lord God, that we come into a family of believers, of brothers and sisters, family here in this place and all over the world, that wherever we go when we meet Christians, we meet old friends for the first time. Thank you, Lord God. for this high calling, for this privilege of being connected to an amazing group of people who are interested in making this world a better place. Thank you, Jesus. Just while everyone is bowed in prayer right now, at every service here at Bayside Church, we always give opportunity for people to come into relationship with God. You might not understand all that that means, but there is a God, and He loves you, and He has a plan for your life, which is a wonderful plan. It's the best plan you could plug into. It's the best plan you could experience. And tonight, if there's something in you that says, you know, Pastor Rob, I want to experience what you're talking about, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but while everyone is bowed in prayer, if you're saying tonight, yes, I want to know this God that you're talking about, I'd like you just to slip your hand up nice and high right now, would you? While no one's looking around. Put your hand up nice and high. God bless you there. It's wonderful. Anyone else at all, just raise your hand up right now. By the raising of your hand, you're saying to me and to the Lord, I want to know this God that you've been talking about tonight. You might not understand it all. That's fine. I'm still working it out myself. God bless you there. That's wonderful. I'm going to ask one more time. Anyone else want to join these two people tonight? Yep, God bless you. I see your hand as well. Just raise your hand up right now. Last time I'm asking. It's wonderful. God bless you right at the back. That's so good. It's the best thing you could ever do. Right here, right now. Okay, so there's four people just raised their hands. Let's stand together, church, shall we? Praise God. I love this. This is my favorite time of the week right here. People coming into relationship with an eternal loving God. Isn't that great? You know, I shared with you last week that we didn't have enough alpha groups to be able to cater for all the new people that are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So right now we've got four groups running, another two about to start. How good is that? So thank you to all the people that put your hands up and just said, look, we'll be involved in that. That's so good. Now, the four people that raised your hands tonight, we're going to pray a prayer right now. We're all going to pray this prayer together to support you. But I'm going to pray the prayer and you're going to repeat this after me. Pray this from your heart. And as you mean this prayer, God is going to respond to your prayer. He is going to forgive you of everything you've ever done wrong. He is going to wash you clean. His presence is going to fill your heart on the inside. And over the next few days and weeks, you're going to start to see things change and shift in your life. This is very exciting. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe on the cross, Jesus Christ gave his life to pay the price for my sins. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and my friend. Come into my life, wash me clean, forgive me, and fill me with your presence. From this day forward, I will live for you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.